Galatians this morning, chapter 3. Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter number 3. That's after 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Galatians, chapter number 3. Thank everybody for being here this morning. Thank the Lord for what He's doing. May it continue to grow and see souls saved to the glory of God. Galatians chapter number 3 this morning. I'm going to start with just one verse of Scripture this morning. Elaborate on it, and then we're going to jump into the message. Galatians chapter 3, look on down to verse number 24. This is the Apostle Paul writing here. We know he was a Jew, a very well educated Jew. And Paul writes here in Galatians 3, 24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." My Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for your help, Lord. I pray, Lord, anything that would hinder the service this morning, Lord, that you would move and help, God, that there would be no distractions. There's those in here this morning that are lost. They've been fooled in religion. They've been fooled into works. They've been fooled into many things, God. Lord, if you don't open the eyes, their eyes, God, to the blinded, the ears of the deaf, God, touch the lame, God. There's no healing outside of you, Lord. Lord, do you use some men, Lord, to do some miracles and some touching, but God, it was still you that gave the ability, God. From Elijah, Elisha, to John and Peter and Paul, God, there's been men that have had that ability, God. Lord, it always came from you. Just, Lord, as what the purpose of the law was to show us Christ. I pray this morning for those that are lost, they would understand the purpose of the law this morning is to bring them to the realization that they're sinners lost on the road to hell this morning. And they'd come to this altar and call on the name of the Lord, believing by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. May a great work be done, Lord. May some sinner that's nearest hell, may today be that day of salvation for some wayward soul. I pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Paul writing here says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster." The law served a purpose. A lot of people don't understand. This is where has a misunderstanding of Scripture. If you weren't here for Sunday school, you ought to be here and try to get here for Sunday school. One of the things we covered this morning in Scripture is that Paul writes that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. And listen, the word of truth tells us, gives us the law. God gave the law. Well, why, preacher? Why did God give us the law? God gave you the law to show you you cannot measure to His standard. You cannot measure to His holiness. We cannot make it to heaven according to what God's standard is. The law sets down very strict standards. I don't know about y'all, but I did a little bit of work yesterday on the Sabbath day. I'm thankful that I'm not under law this morning. If you're looking to keep law, you're greatly mistaken. And so Paul was one of those. He was deceived. He thought, man, the purpose was to keep the law and uphold the law. And Paul realized, got to the point where he got under conviction and God met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and God dealt with him and told him, Paul, why kickest thou against the priest? Listen, he said, you're working yourself to death, Paul. You're trying your best, but you're not. of that, Paul, what is it you think you're doing right now? You reckon Paul may not only got under conviction there when Jesus appeared before, but think about what Paul's about to do. What was Paul on the road to Damascus to do? He was going to arrest Christians and kill them. Matter of fact, Paul says that he at one point, he killed Christians. What's the law tell you you're not supposed to do? Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. There's a difference. People always ask, well, what about war? War is not the same thing. To kill there means to murder. Means to have no real reason to kill somebody. To murder somebody is to do it without a purpose. And Paul had no reason to be killing those Christians because they believed in the same God that he believed in. And so God was dealing with it. And Paul realized he's a sinner. And so Paul says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. There's a message out there for the Lester Roloff preached on. I think it's Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. I can't remember exactly. It's Law and Grace. And I know I'd never do it service, but he talks about that. Listen, the purpose of the law is to get you to understand. Listen, we're all sinners. See, we can take you through the Ten Commandments. I can take you through the Ten Commandments, the first ones, you know, to honor God. If you thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is anything in your life ever been before God? There ain't one of us to say in here this morning can say, no. Every one of us at some point in our life has put something before God. Some people it's their job. Some people it's their kids. Some people it's their spouse. Some people it's money. Some people it's other gods, Satan. Some people it's Buddha or Muhammad or Allah or whatever. But listen, the purpose of the law is to show you that you cannot measure up to God's standard. We can go right down to the Ten Commandments. How many of us in here this morning have always honored our mother and father? Yeah, there's no hands going up this morning. I don't know why. What you mean? You mean nobody in here has always honored their mother and father? What about thou shalt not commit adultery? The Bible says, Jesus said, if a man looketh on a woman and lusteth after her, he hath committed adultery with her. Listen, if you're dressed inappropriately to where it causes a man to look inappropriately on you, the Bible says you're just as guilty as he is. How many of us have taken the Lord's name in vain? I don't want you to raise your hand there. I hear so many people in this area, man, that claim that they're Catholic and Methodist and Lutheran and whatever else. And now I hear them say, oh, worst places to go in here to the lumberyard, man. And it ain't him. It ain't even the guy that owns her. Every time I go in the lumberyard just about here in town, somebody's coming in cussing the Lord's name in vain. The purpose of the law was our schoolmaster. It's to bring you to that point. Listen, the problem is so many people spend their entire life in school, never graduating. What do you mean, preacher? People spend their entire lives looking at that Bible. Some people even reading and studying out, and they'll never graduate to the point where they realize, I'm a sinner in need of salvation. I'm a sinner. Listen, they'll spend their entire life in the school of law. That's what the Jews are doing right now. Show me one verse in the Old Testament, in that Old Testament law that says, do this and thou shalt have eternal life in the Old Testament law. It's not in there. The purpose of the law was to show the Jews. Matter of fact, that's why God turns right around and gives them on time. They say, oh Lord, all that you tell us to do, we're going to do it. And you know what God says? No, it's not going to happen. Why do you think he immediately gives them the tabernacle where they're going to have to sacrifice? Because he was showing them, you're not going to be able to do it. Moses said, there's going to rise up a deliverer after me. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's the purpose of the law.
The purpose is to show you. He is your schoolmaster, Paul says here in verse 24. He says, wherefore is our school, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, to bring you to that point where you say, preacher, I can't do it. If we went through the law this morning, if you're honest with yourself, you realize I can't do that this morning. Let's just be honest. Let's just go ahead and be honest this morning. How many of us in the last week have had pork? How many of you had pork in the last week? How many of you had pork this month? You had bacon, sausage, pork chops? That's a violation of the law. That's a violation of the law. You violated the law. How many of you worked on a Saturday this past month? You violated the law. Those are just some of the simple things. Any of you like, well, not many of you out here like fish, shellfish. How many of you like, anybody had shrimp in the past month? Shrimp's a violation of the law. There's so many things that we don't realize is a violation. We don't live under the law. We live under grace. Now, does that give us a right to sin? No. That does not give us the right to sin. But God appointed certain things that we as Gentiles are supposed to uphold. We're supposed to uphold certain, we are supposed to uphold certain standards. We're still commanded not to eat blood. We're still told not to commit fornication. We're still told that not to do certain things. We're commanded and given certain standards that we as Gentiles are supposed to uphold. We're not supposed to uphold the law. That's why we don't go back to the Sabbath worship. We worship on the eighth day, the new beginning. That's what Sunday is supposed to be. You know, I'd be amazed at the number of people, in young people in our day and time that would be taught. How many of you here know, think that Sunday is part of the weekend? You think Sunday is part of the weekend? It's not. It's not. Sunday is the first day of the week. But I'd be amazed. I would be shocked if more than 10% of people, if young people even here in this town, if you went into our public school here and asked how many of them believe that, ask them what the first day of the week is, how many of them would probably say Monday. I'd be shocked if more than 10% said Monday or said Sunday. Because they're led to believe that the weekend is Saturday and Sunday, that the weekend's on it and starts on Monday. Why is it? That's the devil trying to fool people. Why do we worship on Sunday? Because Jesus rose on Sunday. It's the new beginning. We consider it the eighth day. That's why we meet on Sunday. Did some of them still meet on Sabbath day? Yes, they did. That was in there. But there was a transition there where they were transitioning to Sunday. Am I going to fight and get mad? No. What I get upset about is those that teach that we ought to go back to the law. That's what this book of Galatians, if you read the book of Galatians, that's what a lot of Paul has to deal with. Paul is having to deal with Jews that are going back to the Old Testament law. There have been other Jews that have come in and they've corrupted them and told them, oh, if you don't keep the law, then you're not truly saved. If you don't get circumcised, the Gentiles got to be circumcised. If you don't get, you're not doing what God said. And that's what Paul is dealing with here, especially in this one particular chapter. Let's go on. He said that you might be justified. So the point of the law is to bring us to Christ. Now I'm going to look at three things this morning. The responsibility, number one, the responsibility or the job of the schoolmaster is to teach the difference between works and faith. Go to chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. We don't work to be saved. We work because we are saved. I don't work to keep salvation. My salvation doesn't revolve around me. Other than me just asking God to forgive me my sins and save me, salvation did not revolve around me. It revolved around God and God alone. So the purpose of the law was to teach you the difference between works and faith. It's to show you that's what Old Testament law was. It's a works religion. It's to show them, listen, you can't keep up with everything that was supposed to do. When they brought in a sacrifice, when they were to bring in even a sacrifice, they were to lay that sacrifice up at a certain day.
They were to keep him up, keep him fed. It had to be a certain, it had to meet certain criteria. Certain things had to be particular about that sacrifice for it to be acceptable. You know, but yet there were still people that, God wrote it all out for them, but there were still people that would not even follow that. There were people that God told them to bring before the Old Testament law, God put tithing in. But even under the law, God put tithing in. And says in the book of Malachi, he said, will a man rob God? And he said, will a man rob God? Yea, ye have robbed me. Listen, there's a difference between robbing and stealing. Stealing is to take something unawares without somebody knowing it. Robbing is just like you holding a gun or holding up the Lord with a knife. He said, well, a man robbed God. That's what it means. It's just like you're taking a gun, you're taking a knife, and you're holding up God saying, I'm not giving you my tithe. I'm not giving you an offering. He said, well, a man robbed God. Yeah, you've robbed me in tithes and in offerings. If you don't tithe, if you don't give 10% of every bit of your income, you violated the law. And the Bible says you're guilty of the whole law. Oftentimes, listen, we weren't right with God. Even when we were saved, we weren't tithing. We don't make that mistake now. We try our best to give extra. We want to make sure that we're above the board. Everything that comes in, man, if we do our best to make sure. We make our kids tithe. They don't get a question. My 4-year-old does not get to stick everything that I give her in the piggy bank. Do you? You have to stick it in the box back there, don't you? And you stick part of it up here and that, don't you? Yeah. Why? Because I'm not having my kids rocked off. Does that make them saved, preacher? Nope. Doesn't make them any more saved than any other lost person. Bible says if you violate the law in one point, you're guilty of the whole law. What's the purpose of the law? It's our schoolmaster to show you, you cannot do it. You cannot measure up to God's standards. Listen, Moses was the meekest man that walked the earth, the Bible says. Moses, the meekest man, the walk most humble. He humble. No pride in Moses whatsoever. But when he come down from that mount with those two tables of stone, and he saw them and the sin that was going on there in the nation of Israel, what did he do? He threw the tables down and broke them. And then he got so mad that he took the golden calf. It ain't like what happened in the movie. He took that golden calf, the Bible says, and he ground it to powder, the Bible says, and strawed it on the water and made the children of Israel to drink. He got some mad. I believe that was still a righteous thing. Where did Moses go wrong? The meekest man who walked the earth. How did he go wrong? The Bible says God instructed him. They had a rock that followed them through the desert. You read that in context. You go back and read in the Old Testament, there was a rock that followed them. You read it in the New Testament. The Bible says that rock was Christ. It was the type of Christ. The first time Moses was supposed to smite the rock with his rod, that is a sign of Christ being crucified. The second time God told Moses to speak to the rock, that was a type of confession of sin. When you're saved, you don't have to get saved again. You just confess your sins, and God's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the meekest man that walked the earth got mad at the nation of Israel. And what's he do? He walks up to that rock and he smites that rock the second time. And the Bible says in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, that if we do that, I can tell you there, we're talking. He says it's like putting Christ to open shame is what it's doing. He put Christ to open shame by smiting that rock the second time when he didn't obey God. And you know what it cost Moses? He didn't get to enter into the promised land. Only Joshua and Caleb did.
The law is to teach us the difference between works and faith, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. No matter what works you do, no matter how much you pay, no matter what you give, who you reach, whatever it is, if you're here this morning, you cannot work your way into heaven. Listen, the point of the law is to show you you cannot work your way into heaven. It's by faith. The Bible, even in the Old Testament, says, the just shall live by faith. In verse 11, chapter 3, here it says, the just shall live by faith. In the Old Testament, you'll find that. The just shall live by faith. The just don't live by the law. We live by faith. The job, the responsibility of the schoolmaster is to show us and teach us the difference between works and faith. And he says, by faith, by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in, even by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's the writing of Paul. What's the responsibility of the law is to show you that works and faith are something totally different. You cannot work your way into heaven. Now, if you're here this morning and you're saved, the Bible says in the book of James, show me your faith and I'll show you my faith by my works. That's totally different, though. If you truly are saved this morning, you'll want to reach people for Christ. If you're truly saved this morning, you'll want to be in church. Somebody won't have to nag you and force you and keep on you about being in church. If you're truly saved, you'll have a desire to be in church. If you're truly saved this morning, you'll have a desire to give to the church, to make sure that the church keeps the lights on, that the church can do its repairs. If you're truly saved this morning, you'll reach your family. You'll witness to your family. That's what it means to be works, faith plus works. Old Testament law works are, I got to bring this sacrifice for this. I got to bring this for that. I've got to do this. I can't combine this fabric and that fabric. I can't do no work on the Sabbath day. I can't, we are so far away from the law. You'd be shocked if you really sat down and studied out what the law is. I believe there's some good principles in the law. I believe that the Bible, God laid out some good principles to practice even if we don't follow the law. One of the principles of the law is that every 7 years, you're to let the land lie. You're not supposed to glean or reap anything from the land. We do very well to take better care. I'm not some environmentalist nut. Y'all know that. But I'm telling you, we do good to let the land lie and honor God by rotating our crops and not constantly on the same land every single year, constantly trying to kill it, get everything we can out of it. That's a good principle. If you have crop, you ought to give your land a chance to lie and not glean off of it and let it just go for a year. There's other things that are in there. Listen, there's no doubt if you lived according to the law, you'd live a good life, but you still can't honor the law. You can't keep the law. That's the job of the schoolmaster, though, is to show you that works cannot get there. You graduate when you finally get to the realization, when you say, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. That's right. That's where faith comes in. Number two, the job or responsibility of the schoolmaster is to teach the difference between saints and sinners and saints. Verse 17, Galatians 2:17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If you claim to get saved, you come up here. Let's say that somebody's a prostitute. I don't think we have any this morning, but so we'll use that. Let's say somebody's a prostitute. They come up here and they get saved and they get out of that lifestyle. The Bible says if they build that again, If they go back to that lifestyle, he says, if I build again the things which I destroyed, the sin out of my life, God clean me up, I make myself a transgressor. What did he tell the woman at the well that had been married 5 times and was living with a man that wasn't her husband? He said, go and sin no more. What does that mean? Well, preacher, don't you believe that she shouldn't sin? Absolutely, she should not sin. But the book of 1 John tells us we're going to sin. What Jesus was telling her, don't you go back to the same practice and the same sins you was before, which was divorce and remarriage. God will forgive you for it. And you can put it under the blood. But don't you keep doing it. Don't you keep going back and doing the same thing. If you're in a drug addict, and if you're a drug addict, if you're addicted to drugs and you come in to get saved, don't you go back into that sin. Because it's a testimony that you really didn't get saved. We all battle sin. We all have a spiritual, we're all in spiritual warfare. I was talking with Brother Shepherd yesterday. He came here, was picking something up, and I was talking with him, and I don't remember now exactly all we was talking about, but I was talking, I said, Paul was right when he said it's a spiritual warfare in our minds. For a pastor, a lot of times in churches, you battle some things in churches, but a lot of for me as a priest, it's in my mind. A lot of it's just I'm producing it myself. It's not even that there's sin. It's just that it's easily to get discouraged as a pastor. It's easy when somebody that you prayed for and you felt like, man, God's given me this message for this particular person, and you prayed over it, and you wept over it, and you smothered that sermon in prayer, and that person that you've got in mind doesn't show up for that service. What does that do? It discourages you. You feel like, Lord, I could have sworn that was the message for them. It probably was. They just weren't there. Kind of like Thomas. Thomas showed up after Jesus was gone. Thomas, you missed it. The Lord showed up. I ain't going to believe it unless I see it myself. I can help whether you're going to believe it or not. If you'd have been here like you're supposed to be, taking up your 18 inches on the church pew, you'd have been able to feel it. You'd have been able to see it. You know what? It's going to be sad the number of people that are lost, that die and go to hell, that they could have had a chance in church and should have been in church and maybe even told somebody that's going to be at church. They get there that day before the great white throne, before God himself at the great white throne of judgment. God says, that service when you were supposed to be there, you told them you were going to be there, that was the day that you would have got saved. That was the time you would have walked the aisle and got on that altar and give your heart to Jesus. Years ago, my wife's sister, we were at a meeting called Back to Bethel Camp Meeting. I told y'all about it down in China Grove. My sister-in-law was there. It may have been a Wednesday night, Tuesday night. I can't remember what day of the week it really was. And me and my wife watched her under conviction. Shaking. That's the first time I'd ever seen somebody just trembling, like the Bible said, trembling under conviction. And my wife looked at her and said, Megan, do you want to go down to the altar? You need to get right with God. No, no, no. No, no. She refused. She said, well, we can't stay here all night, Megan. You got to either get in the suburban or you got to get to the altar. And she says, I'll be back tomorrow night. I'll come back. I promise you, I'll come back tomorrow night. Guess what never happened? She never came back. 14 years later, she's still lost and on the road to hell. Will she ever get saved? I don't know. I don't know. But I believe she missed her chance. And God is just. And if he ever gives her another chance, it'll be grace. But he's already given her a chance. And I've watched people. I can give you example after example. Even in this church, people that have been under conviction, God was dealing with, speaking to their hearts, walk out of this church lost and have never come back. Preacher, I can't stand the way you preach. I don't like the things you say because it brings me under conviction. It's not me bringing you under conviction. It's the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God. The reason these bunch of preachers, most of them nowadays, are a bunch of hirelings and a bunch of fakes, because they won't get in here, they won't preach God's word, they won't tell you the truth of what the law says, they won't tell you what sin is, they won't tell you you're on the road to hell, they don't love you. Here I am, I love people, telling people the truth, and people think that I hate them because I'm giving them the truth. That's where we're at in our day and time. Well, preacher, we want to go down here. So this guy's a lot nicer than you. You mean he preaches a 5-minute sermonette that don't make you feel conviction, don't tell you that you're on the road to hell, and don't tell you how to get to heaven. And so that makes you feel good once you want to go there. Go right ahead. Before you leave this place, I want you to know, the truth is, if you don't repent of your sins, if you don't listen, if you don't keep the law 100%, you're going to go to hell. The preacher, none of us speak that. That's exactly right. But for the grace of God, we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the purpose of the law. The responsibility of the schoolmaster is to tell us that we're sinners. But we become a saint by being justified through Jesus Christ this morning and His shed blood on Calvary's cross. Number 3, the responsibility of the schoolmaster is to tell us the difference between works and faith, between saints and sinners. Number 3 is to tell us the difference between law and grace. He says here in verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Do you see that? Paul said if there would have been any way for you to keep the law and get to heaven, there was no need for Christ to die on Calvary's cross. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For verily, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead. If there was any way, even one smidgen of a way, that somebody could have kept the law and gone to heaven, then there would have been no need for Jesus Christ. But there is no way. That's the point. That's why the law is our schoolmaster, is to bring you to that realization. I cannot do it. I need the cross. You need Jesus. You need Jesus this morning. The law and grace. The law tells you what needs to be done. It's hard. It's burdensome. Grace tells you God, what is that? God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace gives us what we could never earn. Mercy is not giving us what we do deserve, but grace is giving us something that we could never earn. That's what real grace is. We could never earn the righteousness of Christ, but God suffered on Calvary's cross for my sins and your sins. For those of you here this morning that's lost, let me give you a little illustration. You want to know how long you're going to be in hell? How long you're going to be in the lake of fire? You'll be in hell for 1,000 years, and at the end of 1,000 years, there'll be the great white throne of judgment, and then you'll be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is eternal, the Bible says. The smoke of their torment went ascended up forever and ever from the lake of fire. Here's this illustration. If a little bitty bird out here, a little sparrow this morning, was to pick up a grain of sand off of our beaches here in this country, just the beaches of America, and fly it all the way to the moon and come back and pick up another grain of sand and fly it to the moon and back till every beach in America and every beach around the world was on the moon. Eternity has just begun. That's how long you'll be in that lake of fire. The Bible says you'll never burn up. That eternal soul will never burn up. Let me read what Paul says here. And I'm going to finish right here. Galatians 3 now. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? The Galatians, they were falling back into this idea of getting back under the law. Can I tell you this morning? I know of a church right here in Kansas that has fell over. I'm talking about at one time it was a good independent Baptist church that preached the truth, and a man has led them astray and brought them back under the law and told them they have to keep the law and destroyed the church right here in Kansas. Here we are this morning. I just read you what the Bible says. Oh, foolish Galatians, he's talking about them being back under the law. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ Jesus hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh the miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Galatians and the book of Hebrews, Paul is dealing with this problem of people trying to go back under the law. There are, again, there are certain things that we are to uphold in the New Testament. Does that mean, preacher, that we can just do whatever we want to? Because that's what the Bible says. Paul says, use not your liberty to sin. No, we're not to just do whatever we want to. There's just certain parts of the law that we don't have to uphold. How do we know which ones we're to uphold? Go into the New Testament when he's dealing with the church and find out what he's dealing with, and we'll find out. One of the things he deals with in the New Testament is our body is the temple of God. So as our body is the temple of God, we're to respect it. We're to take care of it. We're not to be gluttons. We're not to be fat and overweight. We're not to be slobs. We're to be dressed appropriately. We're to take care of God's temple. How would you feel if we just let this church just run on down? If we didn't take care of the things that need to be taken care of, if we didn't maintain stuff around here, well, the same thing, this is not even the temple of God. This is just a building we assembly. This is the temple of God. We're to treat it respectfully. We're to clothe it the way God said. How do we know, preacher, that we're supposed to be dressed right? Because of the New Testament. Paul deals with modesty and dressing right. And therefore, we can take that standard from the Old Testament law as to what nakedness is. Because Paul says women to adorn themselves in modest apparel. One of the other things that women are supposed to do, men and women, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. That's why a man ought to get a haircut and look like a man. The Bible also says that a woman's hair is her glory. So the more hair she's got, the more glory she's got. Because the Bible says God's given it to her for a covering.
I'm cutting this glory.
She's trying to grow hers back out as fast as possible. Bible says it's a shame for a woman to shave her head. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says it's shame for a woman to have a haircut like a man. That's how we know. We could go into a whole lot more, but let me keep going now. He said, "Have you verse number 6, now even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness." You see that? Abraham did not keep the law. He believed God by faith. There in Hebrews chapter number 11, we call it Heroes of Faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. You can go through there and you can read and you can see those people did not keep the law, the Bible says. They believed whatever it was that God told them by faith. You know what Rahab the harlot was saved by? She was saved by faith in God enough to believe that God was going to destroy the town and the city of Jericho. And she was moved by faith to help the Jewish spies, the Israeli spies. She was moved by faith enough to take care of them and protect them. And by faith, that was her salvation. God saved her and her family because of her faith in God was going to destroy that place. That's all that she really knew, was that God was going to destroy that town of Jericho.
And she believed by faith enough to save the two men of God alive. You think they, Abraham understood everything that we have? Probably not. But he believed enough of it by faith that God was going to give him a son, and that through that son that God was going to give him would be the Savior of this world. Matter of fact, when you read the Old Testament prophets, you'll realize that a lot of them did not understand the church. They didn't understand the Gentiles being brought in to back into the fold with the Jews. They didn't understand. But they believed God at whatever God told them. Some men, the Bible says, we've read it there in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, some men were so moved by faith that they were outcasts, the Bible says, even living in caves. We know that Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. As far as we know, according to the Bible, we don't even know that Jeremiah ever had a convert under his ministry. But yet he wept and cried and prayed for the nation of Israel. Many others, Abraham, the Bible says, believed God. It was counted for him for righteousness. There we go. He says now, not only that, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. If you're here this morning, you believe God by faith, you've been saved, you're just as into the family as Isaac was. Isaac's my brother. Jesus is my brother. You mess with me, you mess with them. Ain't it great to have a big brother? I had two, man. My oldest brother was, he was pretty tough. The one in front of me wasn't much, even though he did go into the Marines. That's the only way he got toughened up. It's a good thing about having brothers, man, and sometimes sisters. They'll protect one another. You should. He said, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. God, imagine, man, Abraham God had God as his preacher. Abraham had God as his pastor. Think about that. I know you ain't got much of one, but man, praise God. That sure would be nice to have God, wouldn't it, as a preacher, as your pastor. He said, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Do you see that? If you're here this morning, you think you're going to work your way into heaven? You think you're going to earn your way into heaven? The Bible says you are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. For it is evident. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Skip down to verse number 19. It said, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Why do we add stuff to the law? Why do we add stuff to the law in America? Why don't we just keep the laws we have right now? And that's it. Because unfortunately, no matter how many laws they write, people find some way to violate them. People find some little nook and cranny to violate every little law that we have. The four founding fathers would be just... I believe they'd be just flabbergasted at the way that we are right now. The laws, I mean, you know what they say? If you had 10 different accountants prepare your taxes, you know how many different ways you have your taxes prepared? 10 different ways. Why is that? Because the IRS. There's a saying, I can't remember now who it is, but it's an older saying. Show me the man and I'll show you the law is violated or something like that. I can't remember exactly what I had in my head. But we've got so many laws in America that you can't help but violate. There's one of us. There's one in here that most every one of us at some point in our life, even probably Miss Annette, as nice and sweet as she is, has probably violated. Most of us in here think, oh, well, it don't hurt to go 5 miles over the speed limit. I only go 5 miles over the speed limit. That's what we're trying to understand, bring to understand. Limit. You know, kind of like when you go to the grocery store, they say there's a limit of 5. So how do we get around that? We go in, we buy 5, we go out, put them in our car, and then we go back in, we buy 5 more, we go out, put them in our car. But when it comes to driving, we'll go 5 miles over the speed limit. I'm not violating the law. You're not. You're not. We have so many laws. And God said, wherefore was the law put in? Because of transgressions. Because people were violating what God's holiness was, God gave them the law and said, here, now you have it in writing. Now you know exactly. And all people at this point in history now have the law in writing. They know exactly what God says. Why? Because you have people out here that claim to be prophets. You have people out here that claim to be preachers, and they'll say, oh, just like the devil, yea, hath God said? Did God really say that's a violation of the law? I don't believe that. God is a God of love, and God's not going to send anybody to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. You send yourself there, the Bible says. He that believeth not is condemned already. If you're here this morning, you've not believed, you're condemned already on the road to hell. God's not sending you to hell. You're sending yourself to hell. The reason God's got you in here this morning, is to hear the priest's word, to understand that you cannot keep the law. The law is your schoolmaster to show you the way to Christ, to show you how to be saved, to show you it's by faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. He said, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Because here we are, just like in our day and time, we're in a messed up society. You know how messed up we are in our day and time? We're so messed up in our day and time now that women are out here using a particular word. I don't like saying from the pulpit. They'll claim it. That was happened a few years back before we moved. I heard about this story. A woman that claimed this happened to her on a college campus because a young man asked for her phone number. And she had been taught that if somebody asked for something, it was unwarranted because she did not want to give him that. That meant that he was guilty of that. And she went and took it to court. And claimed that he had done that to her because he'd asked for her phone. That's how messed up. We can't even define words. Well, there's a difference now between gender and sex. There's only two sex, but there's 9,948,448 million genders out here. Wherefore was the law added? The law was added to show people their transgressions. Why do we have to? You read some of the laws that we got on the books. Why are they so detailed? Look at what's going on in America right now. Look what's happening in our country right now. Because people will find a way. They'll find every little thing to stipulate. And there's some of you in here this morning right now that you're trying your best to figure out how to violate the law and get around what I'm telling you, that you need to repent of your sins and you need to believe Jesus Christ. There's some of you in here this morning that still say, I think I can do it another way, preacher. I don't think I've got to do it that way. I don't think I need to come down to the altar. I don't think I need to believe on Jesus. I think I can earn my way into heaven. I think I can do it. He said the law was given because of transgression till the seed should come whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Did you see that? That's what I was just saying a minute ago. If there could have been a law given that could have given life, that could have given righteousness, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. We're all sinners this morning. You're here this morning. You're breathing. Even that four-year-old, which one is that? The three-year-old right there. Listen,
I know he's perfect and he don't ever say, he never lies to you. He don't cry unwarranted or scream out or steal or take something. He's perfect, right?
Sure.
The Bible has concluded all are under sin. Listen, from the pastor down to the lowest one into church, I don't care what denominations say. I don't care what preacher, pastor, or whatever says. If you're here, if you're breathing this morning, you have violated the law of God. You are under sin. That, and now he says, but the scripture concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Till you get faith enough to believe fully in God, you are kept under the law. That's what the Bible says. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust truly in God, repented of your sin, if you've truly never had a time when God saved you, you're still kept under the law. What does that mean, preacher? That means if you stay under there, you don't get saved, and you die, you'll stand one day at the great white throne of judgment and be judged according to the law. And the law says we're guilty. Before faith came, we are kept under the law, shut up unto the faith that should afterwards be revealed. That's why I preach the law. That's why I give you the Old Testament. That's why I tell you about being saved. That's why, because that's what faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God this morning. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You're no longer under the law. Does that mean you get free rein to sin? Absolutely not. Paul says we're not to use our liberty to sin. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That baptized there is not this water baptism. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what happened in your life when you got saved. If the Holy Spirit of God was not present, if the Holy Spirit of God was not convicting you, dealing with your heart, you are not saved this morning. That's what he's talking about there. You are baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ. You are saved by the Word of God and the Spirit of God coming together at the right time. And you go into an altar and you say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. Whatever words you want to say, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. I repent of my sins. Whatever it is, I'm not leading you into something. I'm telling you, you ought to go to the altar and you ought to come up here to this place and confess that you're a sinner and that you believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh and that He died on that cross for your sins. That you know that you're guilty under the law. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. All of us that are saved this morning, we're all the same. We're all equal in the body of Christ. If you're here, you're lost this morning. You're still under the condemnation of the law. You're still guilty before God. You ought to come to this altar this morning and ask God to save you. Let's all stand. The law is our schoolmaster. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, there's some here this morning lost, still on the road to hell. They need to be saved. They're still under the condemnation of the law, God. I pray that they would come to this altar calling on the name of Jesus before it's everlasting too late. And do a great work in their hearts. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The altar's open this morning. Come on. If you're lost here this morning, it's not a prayer. It's you confessing the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believing in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead and calling on His name. If you need somebody to pray with you, we'd be glad to. If you need somebody to pray for you, we'll pray for you. But it still takes you asking God to save you this morning. Come on, the altar's open. There's some more. There's still room at the foot of the cross. There's still room at the foot of the cross.